The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Hey, good afternoon and welcome. It's good to be back with you today. I got a special guest in studio with me today. You are going to love. Yesterday, as I was signing off, I talked very briefly about church attendance post-COVID. And I was curious about the numbers. Are we going to see them rebound? What about these attacks on the church? We've seen a lot going on right now. It was the survey on American Life. They found that nearly one in three young adults are attending religious services. And about 12% of people might be more active. But overall, we're seeing numbers down. The question is why and what can we do? In the studio with me, our chief executive officer, Father Rocky, our executive director, probably is the better title for him, host of the Family Rosary Across America. It's good to have you here, Father. Welcome.
Drew, it's great to be here. And how convenient that we can both be here in the same studio in Lincolnshire. So I texted you this morning. I said, you know, I was on TV this morning on News Nation. So that's a national news network out of Chicago, WGN Nexstar. And originally we were going to talk about church decline in attendance. But we wound up talking about violence against churches and the causes and what that means and all that. And I thought, well, you know, I've got these notes already to talk about declining church in attendance, what caused it, what are the remedies of it. And so I reached out to you, and here I am.
It's good to have you here. There's something about being in studio, too, which is always good. Maggie and I were just talking about that. Let's talk about what's going on. I've been monitoring this, and I thought we'd have a rebound when the churches came back open, but just as virtue flourishes with good practice, vice flourishes with bad habits.
That's right.
I wonder what happens when people stop going to church. What are the causes?
Well, you know, I think the high point for Catholicism and Christianity, maybe even in the last 500 years, was the 1940s, 1950s in this country. So we might have this kind of view of the halcyon days of all families going to church together, 95% of Americans calling themselves Christians, right? Those days are over for a variety of reasons, but I think right now the immediate situation is the drop in church attendance that can be traced to one event. In fact, 1 week, March of 2020, when everything closed down for COVID, right? And people didn't know what to do, and I think it was an overreaction in hindsight, right? But everything was closed. Stores were closed, grocery stores were closed, you know, couldn't fly on a jet, churches were closed, and we were left thinking, okay, well, if the Holy Eucharist and the sacraments is that important, why are things closed? You know, did they close them during the pandemics and plagues in Rome in the 1500s and 1600s? And what happened is you went from, let's say, 100 people going to church on Sunday to nobody going to church on Sunday. And that lasted for several months, right? Several months. And then people could come back and it was under restrictions. And now that everything's totally open, we're back to about 80% of where we were before. Some parishes are less. Some parishes are more. You've heard of that, right?
Yep.
So
where
you had priests during the pandemic who got really creative, the people really appreciated it. They loved their generosity, their witness, their courage and all that. I knew of this one priest, and he said, we're going to file all of the local laws and all the church laws and the local laws where you couldn't have more than 20 people in a church at a time, big church that could seat 200 people. Remember that?
Yeah, 10%, right?
You couldn't have more than 20 people in the church. Right. And you had to have, you know, the masks and all that kind of stuff. And then the other part was the bishop said in that diocese, you could only give Holy Communion to people in emergency. What they wound up doing in that church, I didn't witness this, but this is what I heard. About 20 people would come into the church every 15 minutes, and then the priest would come out of the sacristy and announce an emergency, and everybody would go to communion. Who'd do that like 8 hours a day? Well, the people were thrilled with how he got it done, right? And so that church is booming today. The parish is full. The school is full.
Interesting.
I know in my sister's parish, the priest down there did something similar. Right before COVID, the school had like 120 kids, and they're talking about closing it, right? Then COVID comes. And they determined that they're going to get their school open in the fall of 2020, whatever it takes. Well, what it took was to get some mobile classrooms to increase the the size and distance of people, and people loved it. That people got creative and weren't afraid and worked overtime. And so the people who did that, the priests who did that during COVID, you know, the numbers have come back and then some. And it's a good news story out there, what we've seen in Catholic schools, because by and large across the country, the Catholic schools stayed open, right? And parents discovered it, and they're very, very grateful for that. So that's one of the reasons you had the decline in church attendance. Churches were closed, and just like it's hard to get people back into the office, for some people it's hard to get them back into the church. Now, I hope we can't blame Relevant Radio for this, because as soon as things closed down, we said, okay, well, if it's closed, now we're going to stay open. Remember those days?
Absolutely.
I went up to Green Bay. We had Mass every day at noon. We had the rosary every day at 7, and we already had the streaming technology, and like our audience increased by 40% in 10 days.
It's
amazing. And now it's come back to earth a little bit, but the net gain is like 25%. I was talking to the folks at WGN today about this. That's an amazing growth in audience. It is.
Yeah.
Right? But people reward you for that. So I think that's the fundamental cause, you know, what we've seen immediately in that climb. But there's other things that go on, right? Fundamentally, it's the lack of knowledge of the faith. Mm-hmm. Right? This is the big challenge. You've heard me give that talk before. I call it the four L's. Learn it, live it, love it, and you won't leave it. So it all begins with learning your faith. And that's why it's important for us to study the Catechism of the Catholic Church and study our faith. If you learn it, the chances are you're going to live it. If you live it, you're going to love it. If you love it, you're not going to leave it. So there's a huge issue out there, Drew, in terms of lack of knowledge of faith. That's why the programs in Relevant Radio are so very important. And the resources we provide for people on our website and the articles and the witnesses of our listeners is very important. You hear it all day long, right? Yeah. That's why the chaplet's so important, the rosary's important, because you can actually live it. Other reasons, too, I would say, generally in decline in church attendance, we've got a strong economy. Well, I know people think it's like terrible.
Yeah.
How terrible is it when there's 3% unemployment?
I know.
I mean, there's so few people unemployed, it's hard to hire people.
That's so
right?
true. That's so
okay,
true.
So inflation is up, what, 8%?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it was 8. In most 3. Of the countries in the world? You know, it was like 20%, 30%, 80%.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know. You know, sometimes it's important to put things in perspective, right? Not trying to minimize any difficulties people might be having. But basically, we've got a strong economy. Mm-hmm. Our people have never been wealthier, right? So then people at some level make the conclusion, well, hey, if things are fine, why do I need God? Mm-hmm. Right? Because usually when you turn to God, first it's for God, please help me. Not God, I love you. You know, I want to hang out with you. I want to praise you. I want to worship you. I want to thank you. No, it's usually God, gimme, 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 right?
That's so true.
So if you don't need those gimmies, you know, why do I need God? I remember that years ago when I was a graduate student in Notre Dame, I was talking to his undergrad, and he was a real bright guy. And he's from Southern California. He said, I got 4.0 in engineering. I have a brand new red Corvette. I've got a girlfriend. I have no debt. And he said to me, why do I need God? Mm. I said, well, maybe right now you don't think you will, but one day you will, believe me.
Absolutely.
One day you will, right? So
that's so true. You know, when things are going good, you don't think you need God, but boy, when things get tough, you're on your knees and you're begging God
That's right.
to come and help you. And I remember, like 9/11 is a classic example.
Exactly.
You know, I remember after that hit, I couldn't get a parking spot in my church parking lot the next week, actually for the next couple of weeks, but then it diminished as
right.
well. People, you know, after they felt safe again, I guess, left the church.
There's a lot to that, right? So we turn to God when we feel our vulnerability, right? When we experience a vulnerability. And sometimes God uses those sufferings to get our attention. You know, somebody has a problem in their family or cancer, because you hear it all the time when they call into they turn to God. You know, I came across this chart, I think 2 years ago. It's really fascinating. So imagine if you can, if you're out there listening, and keep your eyes on the road if you're driving. All right, 8.5, 11 piece of paper, and it has a graph on it. So the vertical axis, I think that's the y-axis, right? Mm-hmm. It tracks how much people pray, right? The more you pray, the higher you are on that line. And then the horizontal axis, the x, is how wealthy you are by countries, right? So what happens is the wealthy countries like Switzerland, the people there pray very little each day. And then the poor countries like Senegal, they're off the charts in terms of prayer. And it's almost very evenly distributed, this curve, right? From high participation in prayer and religion in poor countries to low participation in prayer and religion in wealthy countries. They're almost all right on that line. But there's one outlier,
Who's
which
that?
Is out in the middle of nowhere. United States of America.
The states, really?
United States
of America. One of the wealthiest
America.
Countries in
yes,
the world?
Yes, wealthy country, and people pray, right? Oh. We have this natural virtue in our country. You won't find that that so much there in Europe, right? I thought that was really quite true.
Is there a reason for that?
I think it's our founding. Most people came to this country for religious freedom. The pilgrims came here.
I agree.
All right. The Germans, you know, my German ancestors, it was a culture camp in the middle of the 19th century. Irish came here because they wanted something to eat, right? But religion is very, very important to them. And freedom of religion.
Yep.
You know, this is not the norm in human history that countries allow for freedom of religion. You know, we've been sort of the trailblazer there in our country in many ways. And so, yes, when people are under attack and they don't feel comfortable, then they need God. You know, so 9/11 or World War II or Great Depression, right?
My guest today, if you're just joining us, Father Rocky. And if you want to join the conversation, the number here is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Feel free to share your views or ask your questions. Let me ask you about something else in the country.
Sure.
We're talking about the United States.
Mm-hmm.
There are also different pockets. When you look politically, you take a look at the coasts, you know, New York or California, extremely blue, very liberal with their policies. Demographic shifts. Let's
blue
talk
means
about
what?
That.
Devoted to Our Lady?
Oh, boy. You could only wish.
Because right? My car is blue.
You could only wish.
All right.
You know, so you see radical difference in different parts of the country. And that holds true for the political. What about demographic shifts within the faith itself?
Well, it's a fascinating thing. What you do tend to find is that the people who are closest to the land tend to be closest to the God. Right? So you think of the West Coast. And then if you got the cities on the coast, Los Angeles and San Diego and San Francisco, Silicon Valley. But if you go 50 miles inland, you're in the valley mm-hmm. where you've got farmers. Mm-hmm. And there's high participation in faith. And this is what I discovered on Relevant Radio. When we acquired a Mackinac Heart Radio 6 years ago, I'm thinking, gosh, are there any Christians out in California? Oh, they call in all the time, right? They're all over the place. And so if you just paid attention, you saw on TV, read the press, you would think there's no believers in California. There's a zillion believers out there. Yeah. The Vietnamese, the Mexicans, the Italians, the Portuguese, right? The Filipinos, all of them, right? There's a lot there. But there is something about living in an urban setting that can detach you from God, right? Because you're not dependent on the weather for your crops to grow. Right, and you can get isolated and you sort of detached. So there's some correlation there. And then you've got other things going on with media and universities and things of that sort. But you do find pockets of tremendous faith, right? So they'll talk about, well, you know, the churches and then are closing down, they're selling them off. Well, that's true in some places, especially in the cities in the north. A couple of reasons for that. Main reason is people are moving south where it's warmer and sunnier, right? So you go down to Florida during Lent. And just about every single Catholic church on the Gulf Coast is jam-packed every single day in Lent. Yeah. 500 people, 800 people going to daily mass. There's no obligation to do so, right? Wow. So, but they're empty up north. Why? Because they're down south. So you see the church is just booming, like in Texas, in the south, southwest, Southern California, in Florida and such. And then you also see the demographic shift, people moving from the cities to suburbs, right?
Yep. So scandal, the news media, some of the reasons that we've seen a decline in the church, and you're just joining us, that's what we're talking about today. How do we get numbers back up within the church? You know, one of the things that really hurt after the year 2000, 2001, when Boston Globe broke the church scandal, a lot
the
of people left, you know? So how does, we haven't had them now. The church, I think, has really done a lot to remedy the problems that faced it.
Do you know how much they've done? I had to do probably 20 hours of continuing education before December 31st this year because I had to get, you know, qualified for Opus Dei nationally and then for the Archdiocese of Chicago and then for
In Virtus or whatever?
Virtus and Presidium and then DCFS. Yeah. And I go, oh, my goodness. And I think they all have the same videos, right? But,
yeah, so
okay,
true.
It's good, but it's like over the top. Right?
So what does that do for you know, getting people back to the church or driving
well,
them away?
As well as
the media. Right. I mean, the media is terrible. No, it amplifies all this.
You know, you have to make the distinction between for-profit and not-for-profit media. For-profit media needs an audience.
Yes.
Right? Because that's how they sell their advertising. It's all about volume, right?
That's right.
To get an audience, you need to have controversy. You need to have conflict, right? So imagine you're on a playground in a Catholic school and the sixth grade boys are out on the playground and two sixth grade boys happen to be talking about philosophy. How many people are paying attention to those two boys? None, right? And you get two boys getting a fist fight. Yeah. Oh, you got a crowd,
that's so
right?
True.
And so that's how we're wired, right? And I think that it is the tendency in for-profit media. So they take a little bad news and they amplify it and they magnify it. And they don't realize that, hey, you know, there's a lot of good news to share and let's focus on the good news, right? But it is true that if you take bad news and amplify it, it demoralizes people, especially if they're not used to thinking for themselves,
right? So true. Let's do this. We'll grab a call or two. If you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Paula is listening in Mount Zion, Illinois. Paula, you're on with Father Rocky. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paula.
Hello. I just want to say that my husband passed away. He had cancer, and he died. And I came home from a retreat, and the world just stopped.
Sure.
Churches were closed. And I just want to know, how can we get community back? Whenever the church was opened, we were seated as a family. And I was by myself, and I attended a baptism that I was invited at, and the priest seated us. And because I was by myself, I sat 6 feet away from everybody else, and I was away from my friends that I came to see the baptism for, and we didn't have any, there was no opportunity to hug or to touch or to see anybody. And I just go there and I go through the motions, but there's still no drawing in.
Paul, I'm sorry to hear what you went through.
No,
there.
I totally get it.
Yeah. And she brings up the point of community. She doesn't
community
feel
is very
anymore.
Important. Right. So I think that's what churches, whether it be a Catholic church or any other church, offers people that they have a deep need for is community, mutual support, mutual understanding. I think what I see out there, I think people are really kind of like done with COVID and they want to be with people and hug people and be with people. So I feel for you there, Paula, but I think the pendulum is moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I go through the airports, it's jam-packed. There's people everywhere. I was in a ski lift where it was just crowded, people to people. You see that everywhere, you know, but you do need that community. We're so sorry for the passing of your husband, but glad that Relevant Radio can offer you some kind of community. You know, if you were here, I'm sure Drew would give you a hug right now.
You're darn right, Paula. You know it. You know, we're sorry to hear about what you're going through. Join us in about a half an hour. We'll pray the chaplet and tonight with Father Rocky on the rosary. And we'll pray. That's one big family.
Yeah.
I mean, that's you know, you talk
together.
About relevant and being community. I think it's such a good point. Our numbers went up during the pandemic
because
we were a spiritual parish for people when the church doors were closed. And there was a spirit of community. I think people still feel it here.
The thing I really loved is I saw this article about a priest in northern Italy because they closed down first. And he asked his parishioners to send him pictures of their family, put them on the pews. Yeah. I said, that's a great idea. So we started doing that. In no time, we had like tens of thousands of pictures of families. We put them all over the place, on the walls, on the chairs, on the ceiling. Yeah. I wanted to leave them up, but our guy said, hey.
Looked like wallpaper.
It was great,
so
right?
So many faces.
Yeah. So we finally took them down, but we didn't throw them out. We put them there. And now we run them every night on the Family Rosary Across America, right?
And you certainly, hey, I'll tell you, I'm going to go back to the phones. We'll grab a few more calls.
Sure.
Before I do, though, before you know, I hit the phones and we go running in that direction, I just want to ask you about the positive signs, because there are positive signs out there. I mean, it looked very dark for a while, and I know numbers are down for the church. One, what do we do to bring souls back, to get them back into the church? Because, you know, people got very comfortable drinking their coffee and watching the Mass. How do you get them back, and what are the fruits that we're seeing?
Well, I think the Holy Father's onto something here with his first encyclical, the joy of the gospel. Joy attracts people, right? And there have been times in the church where it's gone up and down in terms of fervor, right? But in the Middle Ages, things are in a mess, and then all of a sudden God raises up Francis of Assisi, and like everybody's amazed, look at that guy, he's going around bare feet, he's got the stigmata, he doesn't own anything, and he's, you know, 100% in, right? So that's the challenge we all have, right, to be 100% in. I got to tell you a story. Years ago, a friend of mine said, Father, I've got a dilemma, can I ask you for advice? And I said, sure, I'll listen. He said, every year I go up to Canada and we go fishing. We fly in And this year we're going to be gone for 10 days. So I thought, I know what's going on. I can't get to Mass. And then I'm thinking, oh, he's going to invite me to go with him and celebrate Mass for him. Wouldn't that be cool? I've never been on a plane, but up there.
That'd be beautiful.
So he tells me the story, and he says, here's the dilemma. You know, we won't be able to get to Mass on Sunday. Then I realized he wasn't going to invite me, right? And he said, so what do we do? I said, it's simple. You fly out to Mass on Sunday. And he said to me, fly out to Mass? Do you know how much that would cost? I said, yes. It cost you as much to fly out as it did to fly in.
Yep.
So he decided to fly out for Mass, took his children with him. Yeah. And the guy who ran that lodge in Royal Barge of Canada said, could I go too? We never get to go to Mass.
Wow.
And now this day, you know, 20 years later, his four or five children, they're all married in the church, all their children are baptized, and they're practicing, right? So the power of good example can really attract people, right?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
And we're all called to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, invite your loved ones, your neighbors, your friends, people who aren't going back. If you are back there, invite them. Sometimes it's all takes is an invitation. Let's go to South St. Paul, Minnesota. Father Kathy is joining us there. Hi, Kathy.
Kathy, how are you?
How are you?
Hi, I'm very fine, and I want to tell you how happy I am with our priest, Father John Paul Eckert in South St. Paul. During the COVID, he took us outside. We were in the parking lot. We were in rain. We were in snow. It was wonderful. And now our churches, we have more people than we've ever had.
There you go.
He was not afraid to stand up to all the bad stuff. He told truth.
See, yeah, there you go. It's the power of witness and going that extra yard. And people reward that. It happens in anything, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's really up to each one of us how we respond to the grace of the Holy Spirit, not to be afraid, to be generous, to give that witness, go that extra yard. People really appreciate it, right? Yeah.
I thought it was a clever idea to have Mass in a parking lot, you know, with loudspeakers.
Sure.
You've heard those stories. She's pointed out priests came up with very creative ways
to distribute
the Blessed Sacrament.
Right.
St. Paul, Minnesota, another Minnesota call. Eric is listening in that wonderful
city.
Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hi, can you hear me?
Sure can.
Okay, you asked about how do you get people back in the churches. My experience is simple. People who are not strong believers, more or less they all demand empirical evidence for God. They're not impressed by a Bible. And I would wish that our churches, either in their bulletins or in other ways of communicating, would present that in the course of 20th century miracles like Fatima or other older ones like Guadalupe or Lourdes, et cetera, that have great detail and no one can deny it. The science can't disprove the shroud, et cetera. This is what people want to hear, that they can't argue against the supernatural qualities of what in, and you know, it's all documented. It's not something that.
All right, Eric, let me let Father respond to him.
Eric, you're talking my language. I mean, that's my speech. Right, I love it, what you're saying, right? I know every single word of it. So I tell people today, Eric, the fundamental question we have to face each one of us today is, why do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Not why does the Bible, not why does the catechism, not why do your parents, why does the Pope, but why do you believe in Jesus Christ as God? And if you've ever prayed and received answers to those prayers, you know, they're either small miracles, in some cases they're big miracles. That's what we give witness to. Now, I haven't seen the miracle at Fatima. I wasn't there, but I certainly believe it. I have visited the place. I have been to Guadalupe and other places. But, you know, I keep a list myself, Eric. I think I'm up to like 63 events where we prayed. The prayer's been answered. I write it down. And some people could roll their eyes. Yeah, maybe it's coincidence. And some of these things, these are not coincidence, right? And they give me that power to preach why I believe Jesus Christ is God. And so it comes to that personal witness that you share with others. Now, they may not want to accept it because they may not be in the mood or it might not be the right time for them to accept that. But it is what it is, you know. And so St. Peter writes to the Christians, be ready to give a reason for the hope you have within you. So, Peter, where do you get that? Well, I saw him die on the cross, and I saw him rise from the dead, and I saw him walk on the water, and he was witness to those miracles.
Yep.
And I believe that we are witnesses to miracles, too, if we just open our eyes.
You often say, you know, I don't know whether you said, hey, the only gospel some people read will be your life, but you often say that write down these miracles.
That's right.
Right?
It becomes the gospel according to you.
Yep.
Right. So we got the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And they have miracles, but we were not eyewitnesses of that. And I say, but you do, you are an eyewitness to these miracles and these cures. We hear it on Relevant Radio every night. You know, you hear it in the chaplet, these praise reports, right? Is it coincidence? Yeah, it might be. But after you get so many of these things, it ain't coincidence. Yeah,
some of them aren't. You know, when the tumors shrink and disappear, when doctors have medical scans, when organ transplants are no longer needed. I mean, you can see that. And I've always loved that. It always resonated with me. Start writing these stories down.
It becomes the gospel according to you. Why do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? And maybe you've never thought about it before. And you really got to reach deep in there. So thank you, Eric, because you're speaking my language.
Thank you. Well, Father, you got a minute? You want to hang a little more or do you got to run?
Sure.
All right. Why don't we just a few more minutes on the other side, because I've got to take a quick break here. I also want to share with you coming up the power of one Hail Mary. This has been going around. It's something like 40,000 views. Really, just a great testimony to the power of intercessory prayer for others. That'll come up. But if you're on hold, I'll get you on there. If you want to join us, it is 888-914-9149. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it is great to be here with you. Coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll pray the chaplet. If you're on hold right now, I'm talking with Father Rocky. He prays the rosary every evening at 7 p.m. Central, 8 Eastern. I hope you'll join him for that. And we're just talking about a really, I think, an important question. And I don't know where you are. I don't know whether you are back to church or not. Maybe you got that same habit of saying, oh, I used to go every Sunday, but not so much anymore, Drew. Or maybe your kids aren't doing it. Why? How did we get to this point? But most importantly, what do we do to get people back into the church? And Father, I think you brought up a really great point. I think it comes down to if you don't know your faith, you're not going to live it. You're not going to love it. And if we don't really respect the Lord, truly present in the Eucharist, we don't understand the value of the sacramental life, then those churches are going to remain empty. And that's something that is so critical. Let's take a couple calls.
Sure,
let's jump right into it. Homer is in Belmar, New Jersey. He's got a comment for you. Hi, Homer.
Yeah, hi. The reason I go to Mass, of course, is to worship and praise God.
Good.
And, you know, thank Him. But frankly, if I didn't realize it was a mortal sin to miss Mass willfully without a good reason, there are times where I might do something else besides go to Mass. Mm. So I think that little fear factor should not be underestimated.
Homer, are you Irish?
No, I'm not.
I'm half Irish, and I was told that too. So I've never missed on a Sunday for that same reason.
I agree.
And it's true. Maybe this comes as a surprise to people that it's a mortal sin to deliberately miss Mass on Sunday, unless you have a higher reason of charity, right? That you got to take care of somebody or something
like
that.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And because, you know, it's the third commandment. Remember to keep the Lord's Day holy. The way we keep the Lord's Day holy in the church is attending Mass. And it's a blessing that God has given us the Lord's Day. You know, there was an experiment in France after the French Revolution. They got rid of the 7-day week. Did you know that, Drew? Mm-mm. Yeah, they made it a 10-day week.
I did not.
When I told that to my sophomores in high school, that they immediately groaned.
After the French Revolution?
Yeah, because they said, where did my weekend go?
Yeah, right.
You just took a lot of my weekend away. And so they tried to abolish Sundays. And after a while, people said, we can't take it. We need this day off. We need a day of rest. We need to worship God. We need to thank God. We need to come together as a community. So it really is a blessing. And I would say for people who don't go to church, come to church and see if it makes you happier. Now, you might have a bad experience because it might be a bad homily or somebody might be in a bad mood, right? That could happen. But to me, much of that is real. I do it for God, right? Because He's given me so much. But thank you so much for that.
Good to talk with you. Greg, who's been waiting in Orem, Utah, to join the conversation.
Greg's out in Utah. Where is that? Is that by Salt Lake City?
About 30 miles south, Father.
Oh, beautiful. Thanks for calling in.
Right. We're in the heart of BYU, Brigham Young University.
Oh, good for you.
Mm-hmm. but we're winning our growth rate is coming up and coming up. Father, Drew, I just wanted to share with you, we've been asking ourselves this question in LEM and in the Knights of Columbus about how do we get more people back to church. Mm-hmm. And obviously for me, it just starts with a personal commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But you people, you too, I called out to you on February 21st last year, and I'd lost my son to cancer, Kaz, and you had prayed for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had cancer. Well, I want you to know that my doctors are puzzled because I am cancer-free.
Thanks, praise God. Greg, that is awesome.
And it's not in remission. It's cancer-free. And I attribute it to we had to move, for as crazy reasons as it sounds, the monument of unborn children mm-hmm. out of a cemetery that the Knights of Columbus had put mm-hmm. back 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was offensive to some young lady just recently that was walking through the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And so I challenged myself to move that, and I had a miracle. And while I was moving that, and I just, the Lord, my Holy Spirit, just told me I'm cancer-free.
Wow. It's amazing.
And the doctors can't explain it. It's not in remission, but it's gone.
Well, praise God.
I bet your son is interceding for you from heaven.
It's through the power of God. That's the only place that it can go to.
That's right.
Well, that's exactly what you said, too, right? You said some of these are not
explained. No. Greg is a believer forever because he knows, right? So that's the gospel according to Greg, right? Very, very important. And how hard it must be to lose a son. I've told you before, Drew, I could never be a parent.
No, it's horrible.
I suffer when kids suffer. Can you imagine? I couldn't do it.
As you know, my producer Tom lost his daughter. I can't imagine
she was so young.
Ever having to lose a child. It goes against the natural order.
But I like to say this to people out there, you know, when you say, okay, well, only half the Catholics go to Mass on Sunday. What are we going to do? Well, here's a simple solution. If the half that are going to Mass on Sunday go twice a week, now that's 100%, right?
Yeah.
So 50% times 2 is 100%. And so, well, actually, it's only 1 out of 3 go to Mass every Sunday. Okay, well, if the rest of us go 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Sunday, that's 100%. You know, I said, well, no, it's actually worse.
Yeah.
Only 1 out of 7 go to Mass every week on Sunday. Okay, well, if we all go every day, then that's 100%. And then people say, no, that's actually worse. Only 1 out of 14 go, okay, well, I give up, all right?
Right, now.
But you can always take a negative and make a positive out of it. So it all comes out, how much are we going to love God because how much he's done for us, right?
Yeah.
God is so good. He's so merciful. He's so awesome. That's he's true. So present. And I feel sorry for people who don't know that, right? Hey, how lonely that must be.
Greg, do us a favor. Take the time and write that down and send it to us, okay? Share your story. I know they really, it builds not only my faith, but I know it builds the faith of others. I'm so grateful for you sharing, and we look forward to continue praying with you and glad to have you in our family.
It sure does. Can you imagine? Yeah. You know, can you imagine like that woman who had the hemorrhage for 12 years and then she was immediately cured?
Right. And there are those instant cures.
Oh, there are.
I mean, sometimes God wants us to persist in our faith and our struggle and carry that cross. Other times,
well, Greg, God's got a plan for you. That's why he's cured you.
Yeah, amen. Hey, Greg, thanks for the call.
Yes, he does.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you both. Thanks.
You bet.
We appreciate that. Nancy is listening in Las Vegas. Hey, Nancy, good afternoon.
Nancy, how are you?
Hi. I'm great, and I love Relevant Radio, but the reason I'm calling is in response to the widow who spoke earlier.
Sure.
And I, too, am a widow, and I got smart, and I went to the church, and I found out what groups needed help. And after COVID, a lot of these groups have to disband. So I ended up, and I've called Relevant Radio about this before in Thanksgiving, I ended up finding a ministry attached to the church, St. Vincent de Paul, that feeds the homeless.
Yep.
And I've done that, but a lot of Catholic churches offer Grief Share, and it is a Christian-based therapy program for people who have lost loved ones, and that was sponsored by the church. So I want to encourage that listener, and she's still listening.
Well, Nancy, thank you. Your signal's really, it's kind of hard to hear, but I think we made that. I think, Father, you heard that as well, right? And I think it's a great advice.
Yeah.
Volunteer.
Right. I think it was St. John of the Cross who wrote, Where there is no love, put love and you will find love, right? So if we feel lonely or left out, then that's the challenge for us to reach out to others, right?
Right. Andrew and Nancy, thank you for your compassion, for reaching out and sharing that. I'm sure you're going to help not just the previous caller, but many others. And let's go to Nutley, New Jersey next. Father Andrew wants to join the conversation. Hi, Andrew.
Andrew, how are you?
Good, good. Thank you, Father Rocky and Father Drew Marion,
sure.
for all you do for station. I'll make this really, really quick so I don't get people on the line. I always find four things, I'll list them real quick, that make churches grow. And I find that parishes that offer frequent adoration, that consistently keep their doors open, that consistently teach about apologetics, theology of the body, sexuality, and the sanctity of life. Parishes that consistently do those things are consistently more active and more vibrant and grow more.
Yeah. So never adoration,
and also one,
keep the doors open,
adoration,
clear teaching, apologetics, open, and sanctity of life.
Theology of the
I'm
body,
taking yeah. notes.
And theology of the body. Yep.
This is good. T-O-B.
That's
yeah.
And
yeah.
then one more thing, Bishop Aaron, he did suggest that priests can challenge every parishioner for the next 12 months to bring in one person, yeah. to make one person their goal, their mission for the next 12 months.
Oh, you
and
just
have everybody do that. And
triggered something for me, Andrew. Listen to this. All right. So if there was only one Catholic in the world right now, and it was Andrew, yeah. and he managed to bring one person to the church next year, the next year there'd be two people. And if each of those persons managed to bring one person the next year, there'd be four people. And after 3 years, there'd be eight people. And Andrew, after 33 years, you'd be out of people. 8 billion people. The number of
Power
years of the life
compounding.
Of Jesus. Just one.
That's crazy.
No, but it's true.
33 years.
Yes. All right. 1, 2, 4, 8,
yeah.
16, 32, 64, 128, 256. All right. 5, 12, that's 10. All right. You keep going like that, and you're out of people after 33 years. Just one. Now, Andrew, not only do we have to invite people, we have to pray and sacrifice.
Yeah.
We have to offer up mortifications. And nothing is as powerful as the rosary. So I encourage everyone to join us for the Family Rosary Across America every night, you know, because Jesus it challenges us to that.
All right, we'll go back to the phones too. 888-914.
You won't forget that, right? 33 years.
I love
one
that.
A year.
I love one the power. And what's the story behind that? Wasn't there somebody who went to a king and says, you know, put out a checkerboard or a chessboard and just said, I'll take, you know, a coin every year. So one coin this year, two the next, four by the end of 64. I mean, he owned the kingdom, so
oh,
to speak,
absolutely.
Was the way it went.
Yeah.
It's the power of that compounding. We'll go to the phones. 888-914-9149. Alonzo, Father, is listening in the City of Angels, Los Angeles. Good
Alonzo,
afternoon, Alonzo.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Father Rocky?
Great.
And Drew Mariani?
Thank you for calling.
Listen, I listen to you guys every day. But, you know, I was explaining to the program operator. I said, you know, I went to a Catholic church here in Los Angeles. I'm a Freemason, and I filled out the card for RCIA, and I never got a call back. And I felt slighted behind that, mm-hmm. and I said, well, I don't understand this. I didn't know the Catholic Church's position as far as the canonical law regarding Freemasonry and the conflict between Freemasonry and the Knights of Columbus. And I read up on it, but that didn't deter me.
Good.
I changed parishes and attended. I attend another church, St. Brendan's, here in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't filled out an interest card to go through RCIA like I did there at, I think it was in His Holy Name, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really threw me back that this impression that people have about Masons being the bad guys of the world. And we're really not. We're really not. I'm just a third degree. I'm not a 33rd degree, so I don't know what's up on that ladder.
Yeah,
but you know what I'm saying.
No, we get you.
I'm really not. And you listen to Relevant Radio.
I'm not a bad guy, Father Rocky. You send me letters. You send me information all the time.
I bet
I'm
do.
I'm not a bad guy.
No.
I love this guy. I love you, Alonzo. You're awesome. Hey, I'm glad you were persistent and you found another church and
you're
learning the truth of the faith.
Slip through the cracks, yeah.
right?
Like,
right.
Oh my goodness. So, how embarrassing is that?
Yeah.
A Freemason comes in and wants to learn about the faith, they don't call back.
Yeah, no, it's
I bet it was a bad day at the parish that day.
So, I mean, you're a canon lawyer here. I mean,
right.
I know there are concerns.
So I don't know a whole lot about Freemasonry. Yeah. And I think it has different historical expressions Scottish in different rights. Countries, yeah. Right? Yeah, right? France, Mexico, United States. It seems pretty common in this country. What I do know is about the Catholic faith and that we believe that Jesus Christ is true God and true man. Yep. He died for us. He saved us from our sins. And to be saved, we need his grace. We need to believe in him, right? And you know, getting back to that point, I say we have to learn about our faith. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is very helpful in that regard. Everyone should have a copy of it, read through it, highlight it, discuss it, and try to understand it, discuss it with others. And tell everybody you know, Alonzo, about Relevant Radio and the free Relevant Radio app. This is great. I've heard everything now.
Thanks for the call. So good to have you here. I'm going to take another short pause because we're up against the clock.
Hey, I was only going to come in for a half hour.
I know. You make my job easy, though, so I figured why not? I'll keep you, right? Quick break. I'll be back on the other side. Stay with us.
The Drew Mariani Show.
Connected.
Connected.
Relevant Radio.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, live, coming up. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, the chaplet is coming up in about 10, 11 minutes. If you're on hold, I'll do my best to get you. And look, if you just found this radio program, I'm so glad you discovered us. Set it to the radio you're listening to. If you're on the app, tell somebody else. If you're streaming us on the web, good to be with you today. And you're welcome to join me anytime. Here's your direct line into the conversation. It's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Hey, before I jump back to the phones here and we talk a little bit more, can I just put something on your radar very quickly here? I spoke to one of my colleagues here. You might have heard some of the ads. I want to let you know about this pilgrimage to Italy. I've not talked a whole lot about where we're going, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time right now, but I just want to put it on your radar. I think when the crisis is in the church, I think one of the reasons our kids aren't going to Mass, I think one of the reasons people would rather sit on their couch with a cup of coffee and watch the Mass if they feel they're fulfilling their obligation than go to church or go to the sacraments is because we've lost respect for the true presence of our Lord in the Eucharist. St. Faustina had these unbelievable encounters with the Eucharist. Many of the great saints had these unbelievable encounters with the Eucharist, right? Unbelievable. And I'm going to be taking a Eucharistic revival pilgrimage. First time doing this. We're going to go see Eucharistic miracles. We're going to go to the place where, you know, Padre Pio heard confessions and suffered and bled every day. We're going to go to where St. Francis of Assisi received his stigmata, where St. Clare used the Eucharist in a powerful way to ward off invaders. You know, we are going to go to the Vatican and be present for a papal audience. There's a lot going on. Here's how you get connected. I'll tell you more about it later, but it's relevantradio.com/Italy. Relevantradio.com/Italy. I went to the site today. There's not a whole lot of write-ups about what we're doing, so there's a phone number there. Call the phone number and ask them. They'll fill you in on all the details, and also you can download the brochure. But I know a number of people have responded already. Don't wait too long. We're leaving in September. And it's going to be a great time to hang out with you, to pray with you, to get a chance to see some of the most beautiful sights in the world and encounter, I think, untold graces. So please go and check it out. Relevantradio.com/Italy. Relevantradio.com/Italy. Nativity Pilgrimage is putting this together for Relevant. And so I said, download the brochure and check it out. But get your place reserved. You know, you say, I got to save up some money. Well, you've got till September before we go. Think about it. And why not join me? All right. I think it's going to be an extraordinary time. Let me go back to the phones. Joanne is listening in Texas. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Drew. How you doing?
Hey, I'm okay. I'm doing well today. Feel good. Go ahead, Joanne. Father Rocky had to step out. So just so you know, he had to jump into another quick meeting.
Okay. Sorry. This veteran was saying hi to me.
Good.
Anyways, you just hit on the point that I was going to make is the lack of respect for the Eucharist in the Mass. I see too many people that are think it's a game or something. the way they receive it and go back to their seats.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the problem is that we took away the communion railings and use of the patent.
Mm-hmm.
We need to bring all that back. But
yeah. Well, yeah, you
another
know,
thing that we really need is for our priest to speak on that. We've had the same priest for, mm-hmm. I think, 8 years, and he has never once spoken on that. And I think our priests need to do a little bit more.
Two great points, Joanne. Let me just follow up with your last one. I think you're right. Yeah, you know, I think a lot of people come from a generation where they're poorly catechized. They don't know the faith. Maybe they weren't taught this. Or maybe when they were in second grade, they learned about the Eucharist when they went to make their first Holy Communion. And they don't realize that Jesus is truly present. And I've shared the story a million times. I have a friend who went to the same Catholic grade school as me, right? And years later, I graduate college. And we used to play racquetball about three times a week together. And we went out for a beer afterwards. We're sitting down and we're talking. And I was sharing with him, because I was really falling in love with my faith, about how I'm now attending daily Mass. He's like, why are you doing that? And I said, because Jesus is truly present. He's truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity on the Eucharist. He goes, no, he's not. I said, what do you mean, no, he's not? He goes, no. He says, do this in remembrance of me. It's just a symbol. It's just that we do that in remembrance. And I'm like, what are you talking about? We went to the same grade school. He must have missed those classes. I don't know what happened to him. He ended up losing his mother very young. He was in eighth grade. And he was a little bit angry at God. And then when he came back, he started a search for the faith. He went to a lot of different churches, a lot of non-denominational, non-Catholic churches, which that was taught. And that was his mindset. So I think you're right. I think we need to preach it. We need to preach the truths of our faith. And there's no doubt about that at all. So I hope those priests who are listening may every once in a while, I know Corpus Christi and other day at feast, they probably do that, but to remind people of what's happening, and then to go and worthily receive. To your earlier point about bringing back patents and altar rails, I mean, that's all great. I have no objection with that at all. I think to the point, though, the bigger picture is this. When there is reverence shown, there's a greater attentiveness, a greater respect for what happens. And I think that's why a lot of non-Catholics are often fascinated by Catholicism. You look at the bells and the smells, as they say, right? The incense, the statuary, the beauty of the candles and all that goes into it, you know? It's a lot different than some of these other churches. And there's something that draws people. Beauty draws people to God. The good, the true, and the beautiful draw people to God. And I think we need that within our church as well. So to your point, I think you're right. When you go into a church and it's all stripped down, my wife and I recently moved. We've been attending a church that looks like a Protestant church. And it's kind of sad. There's one statue in this entire place. You couldn't tell this church from the Protestant church down the street. And I said to my wife, I want to buy them an image of Divine Mercy and have it hung where they have confessions. My son came to church with me, and he made the same comment. You can go to another church, and your breath is taken away by the beauty of it. And I think that's something that we've lost, unfortunately, in the 70s and 80s. We saw that. I'm hoping that begins to change. But there's two great points there. I appreciate it. Up next, who's next? 888-914-9149. Let's go to Leslie in Kentucky. Hey, Leslie, good afternoon.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I love you and Father Rocky both and try to listen every day. The thing I'm calling about is an instance in our church where a lot of people have left the parish due to the hiring of a person of his sexual orientation. The person's sexual orientation is not what it should be. And of course, we don't have a problem with that,
right.
But the person is married. It's known to the administrators of the parish,
yep.
And which that's a nun, not the priest in the parish.
Yeah.
And so, I was just kind of wondering your take on that.
Yeah. Here's my take on it. I just, if somebody has same-sex attraction, you know, that's not an issue. They should be able to serve the church and come to the church and receive the Eucharist. And, you know, as long as they are in a state of, you know, as long as they are being chaste in their state in life, just like me being a heterosexual man, right? I can't be sleeping with some other woman or cheating on my wife or, you know, coming to their...
I totally agree.
But if they're married, if they're so-called, quote, in a civil union or married, and they're now at the church serving it, here's the problem with that. To me, that's scandalous. It breeds scandal. The optics of it are absolutely terrible, and I would hope the pastor would you know, remedy that situation. I can't see how it's going to change if this person is so apparently in this relationship.
I think he has ingrained himself with the nun who runs the parish. I think that, you know, she has wanted to move in this direction for a long time. She's been there for over 20 years. And I mean, that was a pretty big scandal when everyone found out that the priest was not actually the one in charge of the parish, but it was her. We lost a lot of people back then.
See what happens when you get liberal like that? That's what happens. People leave the church. They want orthodoxy. And if he truly cares about the flock that he's been entrusted with as the shepherd there, he would take the reins once again and he would do what is right. Leslie, thank you for your call. Let's pray for our priests, right? They need our prayers. Satan hates them. He's got enmity towards them. Let's pray for them, and let's pray for those who unfortunately have left as a result of that. I'll be back.